Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
I'm Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to episode 12 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNPlus.com. Now, I don't know. I mean, in the world of podcasting, I don't know. It seems like you do almost have to say the episode number. On regular radio, you just say, hi, it's Tuesday. Who cares? But you do need that designation of which podcast number it is. So this is number 12. We've made it to a dozen. They said we'd never even make it to seven. We've made it to 12 now. All this now is all gravy. I was worried about seven. Now it's gravy. Anything we do from now on is gravy. Anyway, I am Elton Jim Toronto here with you. Thanks for clicking on, downloading, whatever it is you do to find this podcast every week. It's posted every Monday on WGNPlus.com. And hopefully you are a regular listener. If not, you can always binge. You can binge listen. Because now I even have... I'm learning all these podcast terms. Like, I didn't know there's something called a landing page. But now I have a landing page. So apparently the landing page is the page where all of my podcasts up to this point, and now including this one you're listening to, so that would be 12, all 12 will be on the landing page. So apparently, you go to WGNPlus.com, you look on the prompts toward the top there, it says entertainment. Somehow they think that this show is entertainment. I'm still trying to find any entertainment value in the show at all, but it's nice to know that at least the powers that be here think it's entertaining. So anyway, under the entertainment page... certainly not politics, that's for sure. You go there, and then you will see another prompt that says Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and you click on that, and you get to my landing page, and there are all of them. So if you wanted to binge on Elton Jim for 12 hours up to this point, you can do that. And that's not bad. You get up at like 10 in the morning, and by 10 at night, you're done. What's so big about that? I've done that with House of Cards. I've binge-watched an entire, all the seasons, because I don't have Netflix. I don't believe it's possible that you can go on your television, hit a button, and these movies and shows come right into your house. I don't understand that. I don't believe it's possible, so I don't have that. But my friend does, and so whenever a new season of House of Cards comes, I go over there and get there at like 10 in the morning, and bring a few beverages and a few snick snacks. And at 10 p.m., I'm saying goodbye. All 13 episodes, 12 or 13 episodes, can't remember what it is. They're all about like 45, 50 minutes, so it takes about 12 hours. And that's the way I watch House of Cards. Anyway, so if you want to binge, go to my landing page at WGNPlus.com. What I wanted to talk about before we get into some of the meat of the show... is a little personal thing, and it's actually, it really hits me when I'm in this studio. I record the podcast from the seventh floor studios at WGN. Most people know the Allstate Showcase Studio, which is right down on Michigan Avenue, which I've always said is the greatest office in Chicago. There is no better office to work in than that Showcase Studio down on Michigan Avenue. It's got everything. It's got a great view. It's got a great vibe. You're looking out amongst one of the best streets in the country, Michigan Avenue. There's the Wrigley Building. There's the river right behind it. And then there's just this really interesting and fun just crush of humanity walking past you. Sometimes they look at you like you're in a zoo. You do feel like a zoo animal at times. They peek in. Most times, though, what's fun about it is they don't know you're watching them. And it's always fun to sort of see people sort of, you know, maybe scratch their nose or adjust a bra strap or whatever they think that they're doing in private. Meanwhile, we're sitting in this cube enjoying all of humanity's little idiosyncrasies. So that's what's great about that. But so we're up here in the and these are actually beautiful studios up here on 7. They're new studios. They were only made about 4 or 5 years ago. But I always remember the studio because 4 years ago, right around now, it was actually last week, but 4 years ago, right around now, our cat, the beautiful calico, Thames the Cat, named after the great river in England, passed away. And she was almost 18 years old, and we had her for when she was 6 months. And so, you know, it was really a sad thing. It was kind of, she had diabetes. And so I used to have to give her shots. But with, and cats, apparently, diabetes goes in and out. And so sometimes after a few months of these insulin shots, then it would get better and I wouldn't have to give them to her. But she was a little fighter. And she, in fact, at one time, you know, when she first got diabetes, you know, she had sort of like a, you know, an episode. And when she came back from the doctor after a couple of days, her one of her legs had been like temporarily paralyzed. It was very sad when she came back. And the doctor said, well, that happens sometimes, and she'll be able to walk around. And boy, I'll tell you, I never had more I had never had more respect for an animal. This cat, she was kind of flumping, or, you know, she was, you know, the other legs were fine, and this one was just kind of, you know, flumping. And she would walk up and down the stairs, and you'd hear this thump, thump. But amazingly, and this is how resilient animals are, and you've seen these three-legged dogs bopping around, she was able to not only work through it, but thankfully it was only temporarily kind of paralyzed on her. And within several months, she was back on all fours again. The leg came back. She wasn't jumping around, but she was older anyway. But she was back on all fours. And I was like, wow. I was in awe of her. And she just really, you know, my wife and I, we don't have any kids, so she was kind of like our adopted kid. And she really was an important part of our life. And I think if you really have a pet, if you have a pet that doesn't just live with you, but lives with you and is a part of your family, you do really care about them. And and they are something that you look forward to seeing and spending time with. And she just was very affectionate and really just a part of our family. There's no doubt about it. And she died very suddenly, very unexpectedly, and it was very sad. In fact, the reason I bring this up in this studio is that at the time, I was on the radio here in the afternoons, and we were using this studio for a while. They were re-engineering the showcase studio. So we were up here for about 4 or 5 months doing the shows from up here. And all of us, and I remember, forget this, it was during one of Tom Skilling's weather segments, and I got during a break. I got a call on my phone, which I never usually did, and I checked it. And my wife said, "You know, Thames doesn't look like she's not doing very well. You know, she's thrown up, and she's kind of laying on the bed, and it was very sad." I won't get into the details, but. So when I got done with the show, thankfully the show was almost over by that time. It was only an hour. I rushed home, and we took her to the doctor, and they told her to go to there was an overnight kind of animal hospital so they could, you know, observe her to see how she was. And she hadn't been eating and for a while. And I did bring her to the vet a few days before this, and they wasn't sure what was wrong with her, but they certainly didn't think that she was this serious. And ironically, she stayed overnight. She made it through the night there. And the doctor said, well, come and take her, bring her after she stays overnight, bring her back here and we'll do an ultrasound and see what's going on. And so his office didn't open until 8. And the animal hospital overnight said, well, you need to pick her up by 7:30. So thankfully, we had a half hour in between, and everything was very close to our home. So we picked her up, and she looked okay, and we brought her home, and we said, well, we'll wait a half hour before we take her to the vet. So we brought her upstairs, and we put her on the bed where she always used to sit, and she was on her little you know, blanket there, and we were petting her, and you could see that she was still kind of out of it, but she was looking at us, and everything. And so we got to spend this little half hour with her, and we were just kind of with her and petting her and everything. And then we took her to the vet, which is literally 5 minutes, not even 2 minutes from our house. And we dropped her off, and they said, okay, we're going to do an ultrasound. We'll keep her here, and then we'll give you a call. And from the time it took to drop her off and get back home, which is literally 2 minutes, we walked in the house, and the phone is ringing. And it's the place. It's the animal. It's the vet. And the vet says, she's crashing. And we're like, what? You know, she had just spent the night. She was just in our house. She was just very calm and docile. And they said, we're going to give her this this ultrasound, and she's crashing. She's having a seizure. And it's like, oh, my God, what? So we jumped back in the car. We ran. We got back there. We ran in, and we went into the back. And there she was, and, she was still there, but she's kind of looking at us. And the doctor said, she's had a major problem here. And, it doesn't look good. And so, sadly, that was it. And, boy, what a day that was. So she was a beautiful calico cat. If you go on my Facebook page, you'll see a picture of her. And so it was 4 years ago last week that she passed away. And I used to call her, it just kind of evolved. I called her Pretty Girl because she really was a pretty cat. And I used to always call her Pretty Girl. Come here, Pretty Girl. And so I remembered, it wasn't because of this song, but I remembered this song from 1983 Eric Clapton album called Money and Cigarettes. It's actually a really good album. It's not very well known, although it did have that hit, I Got a Rock and Roll Heart on it. But I really like the whole album. And but there is one song on there which is called Pretty Girl. And so whenever I'm thinking about good old Temmie, we used to call her Temmie and Pretty Girl. Her name was Thames. Yes, it's spelled T-H-A-M-E-S. Even though we would go to the vet and they always say, is Thames cat here? And it's like, no, it's Thames. That's the way it's pronounced. Is Thames here? It's like, oh, Jesus. So now, of course, we have a new cat called Grimsby, which is named after another English city, little town. And, of course, no one can say that. Is Grimsley here? Grimsby? Like, oh, jeez. I'm sorry, but I'm not naming her Patches or, some cat name. But anyway, so whenever I think of Thames now, and we certainly still do miss her, even though we have a new cat, Thames will always have a little special place in our hearts. And so when I am missing her, or when I just think of her, every so often I will play this little song. Oh, we miss you, Temmie. We really do. So that was 4 years ago. And now we have Grimsby. And Grimsby has certainly found a new place in our hearts. But as I say, if you really love your pets, they really are something special to you. And so just wanted to send that little song out to my little Temmie, who I am certainly thinking about and certainly missing as we sadly recognize the 4 years of her passing. Well, that could be only one thing. The Olympiad. The Summer Olympics. Rio 2016. And I bring this up today, this week, because now we are immersed in Olympic news and Olympic programming. Thankfully, I don't watch any shows on NBC. So I'm not missing anything. I don't think. I don't think I watch any shows on NBC. I'm trying to think. So the next 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it is, I'm not missing anything. But I bring this up because this obviously happens now every 2 years. There's a winter, then a summer. It used to be every 4 years. But does anybody care about the Olympics anymore? I mean, it used to be a huge deal. It was every 4 years they would have the same Olympics, the winter and the summer in the same year. So that made it a big deal. Secondly, we were not inundated with as much sports as we are today. I mean, now there are 24-hour channels, obviously ESPN, but then you've got soccer channels, baseball channels, NFL Network, Major League Network, NHL Network. Everybody's got a network. And we are just inundated with sports everywhere, and especially this summer here in Chicago, having an exciting time as the Cubs are rolling toward the playoffs here. So I'm just wondering, in the midst of all this, and especially here in Chicago, in the midst of Cub fever, does anybody care about the javelin? Does anybody care about the discus? I mean, yeah, swimming is good. I know Michael Phelps, everything, but does anybody really care about the Olympics anymore? And what I'm thinking about is flashback to 2009. If you remember, Chicago was in the running for the Olympics. This would have been our Olympics right now. We would be immersed in the Olympics. And everybody says, oh, it was such a shame that Chicago lost the Olympics. Well, if you go back, pull the tape from 2009, because on the WGN airwaves, I was saying how I was happy that Chicago lost the Olympics. And if you remember, that was not a very popular viewpoint at all. This was a huge deal. Millions of dollars spent on the official bid. It was 2 or 3 years in the making. This was going to be a big source of civic pride to get the Olympics. The Olympics have not been in the United States in a while. And Chicago went all in, and everybody in Chicago especially was like, there is no doubt we're winning. There were other cities. Obviously, Rio was a favorite because it would be the first time that it was held in South America, and that had some cachet. And there were some other cities. I can't remember the other cities. Helsinki may have been in that. Can't remember. But anyway, it was a done deal. In fact, WGN's very own Steve Cochran was so sure that Chicago would win that he bet that if they lost, he would go out on Michigan Avenue and in a bathing suit and in a little pool. And he had to do that. I remember he was outside. We were watching him doing this during our show from the window. He had to go out and do something in a goofy outfit in a pool, I remember, for some reason. He was that sure. Everybody in Chicago was sure. And there was big rally was set for Daley Plaza at noon, because noontime Chicago was when the announcement of the winner would be announced. And so everybody, of course, in Chicago was expecting this, but they were expecting, the big news to happen at noon. And then there were, and so things were like around 10 or 10:30, things were just beginning to gather and just beginning to come together. And of course, the Olympic Committee had T-shirts all printed up with Chicago 2016 and we win and all this stuff. And everybody was going to bring their banners and it was going to be noontime, at Daley Plaza, and Chicago was going to, get this amazing, tribute to itself and become this international, destination and hosting the Olympics. And even though I always thought it was very strange the way some stuff was going to be in Wisconsin. It was an oddly put together package, but they were going to build stuff on the South Side and all that stuff. And I just was like, we don't need this. This city, first of all, I love Chicago. Let me preface this by saying I love Chicago. I've lived here my entire life, born and raised in the Northwest Side. Love Chicago. Have had chances to move away, but never did. So I'm not bashing Chicago. But in my love of Chicago, I do criticize it because I would love Chicago to be better. And so I do try to point out the problems so that we can recognize the problems and fix the problems. And one of the things that Chicago does not do well are big events that they plan and they host. Can't argue with Lollapalooza. Lollapalooza is an amazing event here. Now 4 days, just got done. Several hundred thousand people over 4 days. And, you know, it's very orderly. It's taken care of. But the reason why is because it's handled by a private organization. The city does not run that thing. You know what the city does run? Taste of Chicago. Compare Taste of Chicago to Lollapalooza. First of all, in the last several years, they've shortened Taste of Chicago. They don't even want to run it for 2 weeks anymore. Notice how they do anything in Chicago. We don't do big well. I love Chicago, but we don't do big things well. There is this little Midwestern, like, you don't want to show off kind of thing. Do you ever watch the 4th of July fireworks on television in New York? They've got like 7 barges. They've got this orchestral music. They've got all these barges blasting off these fireworks left and right, and it's unbelievable. And Chicago now has some scaled-down thing at Navy Pier that my cousin Bruce has a better display in his yard. I love Chicago, but we don't do big well. There's something in us that says we don't want to show off too much. And that bugs me because we have a lot to show off here, but we don't like to do it, or we don't do it well. The Olympics is the ultimate show off. This is you've got to have major hubris here to pull off an Olympics. You have to have major cockiness and arrogance to pull this off. And Chicago doesn't have that. And it scared me when they were talking about where they were putting all these things and temporary stadiums. And it was gonna be a mishmash. And let's face it, you know, Chicago has a lot of problems. And we didn't need to put this huge major project on top of the problems we already have in terms of pension problems and economic problems. And now in the last 4 or 5 years since that decision in 2009, when we lost it, our crime rate now is now a national, not joke, sadly, but it's a national reference point. When you hear people nationally talking about gun crime or crime in general, Chicago is the city that is named. So we've got work to do here, folks. We don't need to put on some ridiculous party that we can't afford, that we're not going to put on well, and to be honest with you, a party that I don't think anybody cares about that much anymore. And it always loses money. And talk to any city that has hosted it. They get all excited. And then the bills start coming in. They realize, why did we do that? Greece practically is in the economic position it is in now because they hosted it a few years ago. And I can only imagine what's going to happen in Rio. And it always happens. You know darn well that they're still painting walls. And they're still building things, even though they had 7 years to do this. But think about if this would have been in Chicago the last 7 years. What would have happened? Think about all the corruption stories we've been hearing about, because you know there would have been people buying up land and trying to make money off of this. It's Chicago. It's the seat of corruption. So there's people right now that are not in jail that should be happy. Because most likely, a lot of people would be in jail right now if we got the Olympics. Because they would have gotten involved in some scheme with money or kickbacks or whatever it is. And we would have had a regular, I believe, it's Chicago. Once again, I've been here my whole life. I'm not saying anything that's not true. You know there would have been scandals and corruption around the development and the building of this. You know that it would have been delays. You know there would have been traffic problems. We already have horrible traffic problems, as it is, and so they would have been rebuilding roads. The last 7 years would have been incredibly chaotic around here, and I don't know if the payoff would have been worth it. Here's one that I don't hear anybody even talking about. Aside from the economics and the crime and the corruption that would have been a major part of our lives for the last 7 years building up to this, you know darn well, if Chicago had won this in 2009, 7 years ago, Richard Daley would not have resigned or not decided not to run for mayor, because this would have been the ultimate party. And he certainly, having spearheaded this effort for 2 or 3 years before 2009, he certainly would want to have been the mayor when the world came to Chicago. So here's another aspect that, forget about all the issues about the corruption, everything else. Let's think about the reality of this and what would have happened here. So we do not have Rahm Emanuel as mayor because Daley does not quit. But remember, about 2 or 3 years ago, Richard Daley had a stroke. So what would have happened? He probably would have had that stroke regardless of whether we won the Olympics or not. So then, would he have quit? Would he have stayed in? And then what kind of a runoff election would that have had to bring up if he was incapacitated to take over? But would he have wanted to, or would he have been able to? Would he have been in recovery for a while, and then the city would have been under someone else's leadership while he got, who knows what would have happened? But Daley would not have, I know for a fact, there's no way Daley resigns or does not run for another term if the Olympics are coming here in 2016. There's no way. And at that time, he wasn't any kind of, at least outwardly, in any kind of health problem. But he did have a stroke a couple years ago, and he's been out of the public eye. So we would have had a disabled mayor. And then who knows what would have happened internally. So now, aside from the Olympic chaos of the possible corruption and the kickbacks and the traffic jams and all the other stuff that comes with putting on this, building these buildings and these infrastructures and putting on this show, but then we would have had this crime, which would have then put Chicago's crime even more in the headlines, because now athletes from all over the world would be coming, and they'd be coming, and a lot of that stuff is going to be held on the South Side, where the crime is. How would we have dealt with that as a PR? The whole idea of these Olympics is PR for your city. You're basically giving your city up to the Olympics in the hopes that it becomes this showcase for the world on national television for 3 weeks. And then people say, hey, I want to go to that city. It looks gorgeous. We would have to been contending with a horrible crime rate coming in now and then trying to keep people safe. It wouldn't have been a good commercial for Chicago, and it would have been a difficult last 7 years, and it would have been an impact on where Chicago's going in the future. So yes, at the time, it was this big civic blow to our civic pride. Never forget, at 10:30, the announcement was supposed to happen in October of 2009 at noon in Daley Plaza, and that's when Chicago was going to be announced as the winner of the Olympics. To host the Olympics. And the fourth runner-up was announced at 10:30. And so hardly anybody was even at Daley Plaza yet, because everybody was gearing up for the noon announcement when we would win. At 10:30, with about, you know, a handful of people just mingling in Daley Plaza, and there's the big screen TV prepared for the big noon announcement. But at 10:30, some Olympic official gets on there and starts reading off the fourth runner-up. Nobody in Chicago's even paying attention. The news people weren't even there with their trucks. Nobody was there. Billy Deck wasn't even there with his bad little hat, because he was going to be running that thing. I don't know if you remember that, but Billy Deck was all over this thing. He was, you know, there's all these prominent Chicagoans. They were so, and they were all excited. They were all in a hotel somewhere watching this, you know. And at 10:30, the Olympic person goes, fourth runner-up, Chicago. You heard this. You didn't hear anything, because nobody was even in Daley Plaza to react. But you just felt like all of a sudden word traveled so quickly through the city. We already are out. We're already out. It's 10:30. We're out. And then they showed this hotel suite or wherever these guys were, you know, where they made the announcement in Europe somewhere. I can't remember where they made the announcement. The whole Chicago contingency was sort of sitting there. The guys had been worked on this and had, you know, probably a lot of financial, things going on that would have, you know, they would have benefited from. And all these movers and shakers are there in Chicago with their shirt, you know, in Europe, awaiting the announcement of the win. And they are out at 10:30, number four. I mean, this was a three or four year thing. And it cost millions of dollars. Thankfully, it was private money. But think about this. Out of four finalists, we came in fourth. And we spent, we could have spent $4 and come in fourth. Why do we have to spend $200 million? Why did we have to go and build and put together this 900-page thing, this proposal? And if you remember, they brought the Olympic people in, and they built these blocks, like these cardboard blocks of where the buildings would be. They went through all this stuff, all these programs, all these reports to come in fourth. We could have handed in a one-page thing that said, please give to Chicago, and come in fourth. We didn't have to have 700 pages, 75 people, $200 million. They could have said, here's our submission. And the guy from the Olympics would have said, geez, it's kind of short. It's just one page. And it just says, we want the Olympics on it. Are you sure you want to? You want to turn this in? Yeah, I think it's all there. Okay. Well, you know what? You guys come in fourth. Oh, okay. Or let's spend $200 million. 5,000 pages, all these expenses, and still coming forth. Believe me, folks, I know it was a blow to Chicago's civic pride, but we have a lot of problems here. And so it would have been nice for about 10 seconds to say that we were hosting the Olympics. But then we would have had to have gotten down to the business of it. And I think that Chicago has, I love this city, but Chicago has enough problems. We didn't have to overlay a huge party that would have basically corrupted us and bankrupted us in ways, not just monetarily, but other ways too. Our image would not have been what we had wanted. We want to stay out. Right now, Chicago needs to stay out of the headlines. Things are not going well for Chicago from a PR standpoint. That Olympics with the spotlight of the world on us, believe me, it was a blessing in disguise. Rio, congratulations. I'm sure that your dirty water and your Zika and all your other problems, I'm sure you're really happy. Think about this. The president of South America or Rio, I can't remember which it is, the person who was responsible for this, she's getting impeached. She's not even going to be a part of the Olympics. This is my point. What they need to do, here's what you need to do for the Olympics from now on. There's so much corruption within the Olympic committee and all that. Just do this. Pick two host cities. Permanent host cities, whether it's Greece, because that's where the Olympics started, or wherever, but just have two permanent places, a place that has good summer weather and a place that has good winter weather for the winter. Remember last year? Remember 2 years ago in Russia? It was like 80 degrees. They couldn't even make snow in Sochi. What the heck is Sochi? Let's pick a place. Let's find Switzerland and Greece. Good skiing. Good. We can do some great lugeing. You got to love the luge. Do that in Switzerland or somewhere in the Alps. And then if you want to do it from a historical purpose, whether I don't know if Greece can afford it, but just have permanent permanent stadiums permanent facilities, permanent pools, permanent ski lifts, and especially permanent dorms for all these places. So these athletes that are traveling halfway around the world don't have to walk in, and when they open the door and they lean against the wall, they got white paint on them because they're still drying. Because again, the dorms in Rio weren't done yet when the Olympians arrived. Just get permanent spots, have it there every year. And let's get on with it, because to be honest with you, the Olympics, I think, have lost their luster. Yes, it's still cool to have a gold medal. And especially, think about the Olympics. In this world nowadays, when everybody gets a trophy, in 5 years, I don't even think anybody's going to even know what competition is. No, you know, in the Olympics, not everybody gets a gold medal. There's going to be a lot of kids crying. They're used to getting medals. What do you mean I don't get to stand on that little thing with the three people? Mom, you're going to have like 23-year-old swimmers calling their moms, and they're going to go to the Olympic guy and say, how come my Billy can't stand up on that thing over there? That's not fair. There's only three people. How come there can't be 17? Everybody wins. Why are we keeping score? We shouldn't be keeping score. Oh. Permanent place for the Olympics. Thank God Chicago didn't win. And we're back here at WGNplus.com. Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic, episode 12. And I can hear some breathing.
I'm there.
Yes, it is. It can only, and I could, I, you know what? We've been doing this now 12 times. I can even tell your breathing patterns.
That's scary.
Yeah. I go, I bet you that's Mick. Now, of course, I knew it was you because we called you, so I had a feeling that it was you anyway.
Sure.
But I could also, I could tell your breathing patterns. Do you have a deviated septum at all?
No, I'm good. Nice and healthy.
Okay, because I felt a little thing on the right nostril was...
I like Darth Vader. Yeah,
I felt the right nostril was not as clear as the left. I didn't know if you had, I thought maybe you were deviated toward the right.
I heard your Olympic jag that you were doing, and I know you and I have talked about this before, Jim, and one of the best days of my life was when Chicago didn't get the Olympics.
Tell me about it. I mean, I was totally, I mean, go grab the tape.
Oh,
I was so against that for every reason that has turned out to be, you know, come to fruition.
Well, the only thing I wanted to say was, and this was my point from the very beginning when Chicago was doing this long pitch under Mayor Daley, it's like, do you realize, okay, the Olympics are this coming week. Do you realize if Chicago had it, they would still be digging the first ditch for the first toilet at the Olympic Village now?
You think that, yeah, the Olympics are on. I mean, when this airs, the Olympics will have started. You know darn well they would still be painting.
Yeah, painting. They'd still be like, well, where are we going to put the track? I don't know. What do you want to put it?
And there would be three city workers staring at it,
yeah,
and one guy with a jackhammer.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I wanted to say, because I've actually come up with a little parody song, and Al Flash hasn't recorded it yet, but we had a couple of thoughts regarding Rio, and this is just the chorus to the Duran Duran song, Rio.
Oh, right.
All right. We're down in Rio where the water is in chunks. I'm swimming in some crud and things I ate for lunch.
No kidding. And then the Zika virus.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not even bad enough that, you know, there's these things like the water level and whatever else. I mean, it sounds like that water problem is really disgusting.
It is.
And they knew that 7 years ago.
Right. And they're just swimming in chunks of, you know, dung.
But they knew, you know, but see, the thing is that the idea of South America, you know, everybody, you know, there's such a push now with the influence of the Hispanic culture, not only on this country but on the world. So they wanted to get like a South American country, and that's the reason I knew that Chicago was going to lose anyway. Is, let's see, where would you rather spend summer if you're an Olympic official? Would you rather be on the beaches in Rio de Janeiro where there are just thongs galore?
Right. right. And Brazilian waxes.
Yeah, Brazilian. I mean, there's no such thing as a Chicago wax.
No.
There's a Brazilian wax. I've seen the Chicago wax. It's hairier than it was before. That's the Chicago wax. You actually gain hair.
Yeah. Oh,
so, God. I mean, yeah, like you said, Brazil has its own wax. There are there's people in the jewel of Rio, whatever that is. They're just wearing thongs.
Sure.
Yeah. So, in here in Chicago, let's see. If I'm the Olympic Committee, do I want to go to Chicago or do I want to go on the beaches of Rio where I'm just inundated with thongs?
There you go.
That's why I said, I don't know how much you heard of my rant, but we came in fourth, right?
Yeah.
And they spent $200 million. They had like a 7,000-page report. They could have turned in one page.
Well,
that said we would like the Olympics.
And you've probably seen this on 60 Minutes and other places. Cities who get the Olympics,
right?
They go broke. And Chicago's already broke.
That's my point. And the thing is too, Chicago doesn't do big well.
They don't.
And so this would not have been the PR dream. It would have been a PR nightmare.
Yeah. Well,
because think about the crime rate that we already have without this.
Well, they would have had new events. They would have had the bullet catch.
Oh, gee. Boy, I didn't even go there.
Well, they would have had that going, you know, and that guy, you know, like, in the wintertime when they have that biathlon thing where you ski and shoot, there'd just be cars and shootings, you know.
Oh, God. There's a lot of jokes that... that are right on the edge of good taste.
Obstacles, yeah. Jumping over fences and into alleys.
Well, I'm glad we lost.
Yeah, me too.
That's all I can say. So here's the thing that I wanted to talk to you about. First of all, we are going to come on, join me, Mick. We're going to walk down into the clubhouse.
Okay, we're in.
Because this is the Pop Culture Club.
Sure. Get the music on. We're in the man cave.
Okay, here we go. Now it's official.
Beautiful.
So, there was a rare occurrence. I've known Mick for more than 30 years, going back to our college days, when we first met doing radio on good old WRSE, 88.7 FM. How many watts was that station?
At the time, we were boosting a big fat 10 there. But
10 watts?
10-watt blowtorch.
Did that even go to the calf?
We were lucky that we got to Elk Grove Village. Yeah. Like the first time somebody called from Elk Grove Village, I was like, really? What kind of antenna do you have in your house?
10 watts? It was only 10 watts?
10 water, baby.
What were they? Remember there was a big talk about expanding it?
To 100 watts.
Oh, is that what it was, 100? Yeah.
Yeah, 100 wow. FM stereo.
Yeah. So anyway, so we've known each other a long time ago. And as I always said, Mick and I, my always joke was that we were twin sons of different mothers.
Right.
Because we really just have a lot in common. We like a lot of the same things, and we think the same way. And I think one of the few times in our friendship, this week, there was a chasm.
A little break-off.
Yeah, I was shocked. So for those of you who follow me on Facebook, and it's just Jim Toronto or Elton Jim, for the last almost now over a year, I do a daily feature called Elton Jim's Jam-Packed iPod. I've got 24,000 songs on my iPod. And so I thought it would be cool to every day pick a song that's on my iPod to either remind people of some cool music that they may have forgotten or in some cases discover it for the first time if you're a younger person. So I've been doing that for a year every day. And I've got over 300 and some songs. So Mick is, I appreciate Mick always, every day, at least goes on and makes a comment or at least likes the song. And I'm not surprised because, as I said, Mick and I have a lot of our tastes in common. So I go and put a song on the other day, it's not one of my favorite songs of all time, but I think it's a really good representative rock and roll song of its era from the early 60s, right around when the Beatles broke. And so it's got the classic kind of bass riff, and it's a pretty well-known song. And as I said, Mick and I both like old music as well from the 50s and 60s. So I wasn't picking this in my expectation that you would like this, Mick. but I was shocked at your response that you wrote on my Facebook page. So here's the song, first of all. So you, so I'm like, it's got a great bass riff. It's got this gritty kind of vocal. It's got this kind of free and easy vibe to it. And Mick writes, basically, what did you say?
I didn't really like that song.
Now, why? How do you not like A Little Bit of Soul by The Music Explosion?
Well, I agree that it has a very identifiable riff, okay, and a hook, as they call it in the music business.
Right.
It has a great hook.
Right.
There's nothing else to it.
But it's not. There's not supposed to be anything to it. It's just like a. It's like an early rock song that's just kind of like a feel, a vibe.
Well, as I pointed out, because you went nuts when I said I wasn't really into that song.
Well, I just wrote
on Facebook. You're like, whoa, what do you mean? You know, and all that. And to be honest, A Little Bit of Soul reminded me a lot of the old Lee Michaels song, Do You Know What I Mean?
Oh, that one goes, do you know what I mean? Been 40 days since I don't know when. That one, right?
That one, and also 96 Tears by Question Mark and the Mysterious.
You don't like 96 Tears?
96 Tears is okay, but they're all the same thing. They found about a 5-second riff and said, there's your song. And it was funny because then I think I told you later on I YouTubed A Little Bit of Soul, and guess what song was in the chute to play next on the YouTube page?
What?
96 Tears.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, and the funny thing is there are certain songs that have that identifiable riff, and that's all there is to it, and for some reason they work. And I give the great example, of course, is The Kinks, You Really Got Me.
You don't like 96 Tears?
It's just okay. 96 Tears goes a little bit better than A Little Bit of Soul. But, again, like I said, okay, like The Kinks, You Really Got Me Now, that song, it has a punch to its little riff. These other songs, especially A Little Bit of Soul, it just sounds like a lazy song.
Well,
like,
first of all, Benefits Don't Bad. Not only that, but remember, you're trying to give too much to the song. The title of it is it's just A Little Bit of Soul.
Well, my idea is there's not enough soul in that song.
No, but it only needs a little bit of soul. That's the title. It's not saying
more.
There's a ton of soul, yeah, a ton of soul. No, it's just a little bit of soul. So don't put too many expectations.
Songs that I just never was really into, you know?
I was shocked because I figured, you know, this is like right in the wheelhouse, 1965.
Garage pop rock.
Garage pop rock. It actually was a forerunner of what they called bubblegum pop,
sure,
which came later with, you know, Yummy, 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 I Got Love in My Tummy, and Simon Says.
The Red Baron.
Right. You know, what was it, the 148 Fruit Gum Company?
That 1910 Fruit Gum Company. Right. There was also Simple Simon Says.
Yeah, Simple Simon Says, then you will never be out. Bam, 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 bam. They all had that little organ.
Yeah.
And they had just this nice little, like you said, a nice catchy, you know, hook. So I was shocked because you and I really always track. And for to not like A Little Bit of Soul.
Just not my thing.
Wow. Then what was so funny about it, so I write this thing. I said, oh, it's just this great, you know, catchy thing. It's just pure, you know, pure rock, you know, blah, blah, blah. So then Mick writes, you know, I always found this song very redundant. And blah, blah, blah. And you compared it to 96 Tears and the other one. So then I wrote very succinctly, wrong. with a period. And then you write back, and then I actually wanted to call you because I thought, uh-oh, our friendship might be, we might be having a friendship, crisis over a little bit of soul. Because then you said, well, no, actually, it's not wrong. It's my opinion.
Right.
And you got very testy.
Well, what I was saying was, okay, your opinion is that you really like that song, and my opinion is I really don't like it at all. So
right, but when I said wrong, I was just joking, and then you came back with this.
I just wanted to stand up. You know?
You came back with this terse. You know, I was like, oh my God! I felt like I have to call Mick.
I got to make sure our relationship.
Yeah, Mick, are we okay now? Are we
gonna, baby? Where did our love go?
Yeah, are we gonna break up over a little bit of soul? Not even a lot of soul.
A little bit. Really sad.
I mean, first of all, you know, once again, I think that song's got a great hook. It's got like when you hear bum 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 bum, bum bum bum, you know what the song is. So to me, right off the bat, that has to have that's important. But then it's even the group's name is Music Explosion.
Sure.
It's not just a little eruption.
Right.
It's a music explosion.
Which makes me go back to those K-Tel records you used to collect.
I think there is actually one called Music Explosion.
I'm sure there probably is. It's Dynamite Express.
Right. There was Dynamite. Yeah. There was Out of Sight.
I'm still surprised there was never a Music Armageddon, you know?
that was the K-Tel of all the 80s hair bands.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All the spray paint, hairspray and the makeup and all that.
Yeah. Motley Crue. Yeah. Who were the guys that did Come On, Feel the Noise?
Oh, Quiet Riot, and then there was Rat.
Oh, Rat!
Remember Rat, Round and Round?
Round and, yeah, and then the big story about Rat was that, like, one of the guys, his grandfather was Milton Berle.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
There was some Milton Berle connection to Rat.
And there's Poison.
Oh, remember the, when you said Quiet Riot, remember the cover of the Quiet Riot album? The guy had that silver mask,
the mental mask.
Yeah, yeah, he sort of had, it was like Hannibal Lecter before Hannibal Lecter.
Sure.
Well, I don't know about, K-Tel's Music Armageddon, but I know that there is a music, I bet you a little bit of soul is on one of those albums, too.
I sure hope so.
Well, well, the funny thing is now I know. So if I ever have a party in my backyard and you're invited,
yeah,
the first song that's being played is a Little Bit of Soul. There's going to actually be like a limbo contest to Little Bit of Soul. In fact, the whole theme of the party.
Well, if I played for the Cubs, that would be my intro music when I was back
exactly.
To bat, right?
I mean, if I have a party now, I have a theme party. On the invitation, it's going to say, come to Elton Jim's Little Bit of Soul Party. Oh, wow. I was shocked that you would not like that song. Wow.
Yeah, and the thing was, it's like, not that I hate it, but it was just like, it was the kind of song that if it was on a jukebox with like 50 other songs to pick from, it'd probably be the last one I'd play.
Well, here's the funny thing, too. And believe me, this is not one of my favorite songs of all time. And the whole idea of this feature is just to find songs that maybe people haven't heard in a long time, which I think Little Bit of Soul, you know, falls into that category. You don't hear that song all that much anymore. And I think it's a catchy little two-minute ditty. That's all it is. But it was a forerunner of kind of that bubblegum and garage rock, so it does have its place in history. But the funny thing is that, as I said, what I found interesting was that you went to the, you know, we went to the next level. You actually not just saw it and then just went on to another page, and you didn't even have to hit the like button, you know?
Right.
You actually went and wrote something angry about it. So to me, that's where I was like, wow.
Well,
you could have easily,
and again, you didn't say it was the greatest, songs in Sgt. Pepper or whatever, but I just thought, I just think there's a lot of other songs that could be highlighted that are much better than that one.
Well, I got to tell you, Mick, first of all, here's the other reality of the situation. Okay, I've been doing this feature on my Facebook page now for over a year. Okay, it's getting hard. to pick a new, because I don't want to pick songs by the same artist a lot.
Sure.
You know, because then it looks like I'm just favoring the people that I like. So if you look through the more than 300 now, I'm sure 70 or 80 songs that I've chosen over the last year or so, there's only a few that are like songs by the same artist. There's obviously a couple by Elton and by Springsteen, some of my favorite bands. But for the most part,
I've spread it out.
I've spread it out, and I've spread it out over different eras, whether it's the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, 90s, even contemporary songs. And I've tried not to repeat the same artist so that it's not just like, oh, you know, it's like my, you know, it's like my Spotify list of my favorite songs by one artist. So I'll tell you, you know, it's getting tougher now when I go, because I do every day, I pull out my iPod. And I scan down to looking for songs. And I'm going, well, is that one good? And, you know, I mean, let's face it, you know, out of those 24,000 songs that I have on there, you know, there's a lot of the same artists because these are all my favorites.
Well, I think you also have to look at it this way.
So it's not easy to find a song not by one of my favorite artists all the time.
Well, I mean, here's my thought, and this goes back to, because every once in a while I'll post up a song on my Facebook page or on my blog or whatever, and It should always be song driven and not artist driven. And if Springsteen or Elton or someone else who you like, the Who or the Beatles, have a really great song that's fitting, or you come across it, then it should be shown. Okay, and so if I were you, I wouldn't worry about spreading it out and saying, oh well, God, I just did a Springsteen song last month, I shouldn't do another one, because if it's song driven and the urge hits you, you know, why not just do it? It's your little world. Who cares?
Well, that's true, and I just don't want to be accused. I mean, this is how sick I am, you know. So I mean, like, first of all, like, I'm thinking that somebody's even waking up every morning worried about what song I pick.
Well, I hope it doesn't pick that one. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
So yeah, so I'm already thinking in my head, because I do have a running tally of all the songs. I have like a Word document.
Sure.
But so I'm even thinking like, well, if I put another song by this band, they're going to be like, well, you just did that song 2 weeks, you know, that band 2 weeks ago.
Okay, I think you're thinking about this too much. It's kind of like what Crash Davis told Nuke LaLoosh and Bull Durham. Don't think me, just play.
That's what I mean. I think I am overthinking it, but I'm such a music purist, Mick, and I want to share. I mean, the whole, you know, the whole thrust of this daily feature is to you know, expose music that people may never heard of, or if they did hear of it, it's been a long time since they heard it, and they go, oh my gosh, because that's basically how I came up with the idea. I was sitting in my yard one day planning my little bit of soul party.
Sure.
That you will be invited to.
And I won't be there though, because a little bit of soul, it's got to have more soul than a little bit. I'll be busy that night.
So I just had my iPod playing, and there was just a lot. You know, it was a very diverse group of songs from all different eras and all different artists and all different types of music. And I was like, wow, there's just so many great songs I hadn't heard in a long time. Like, well, it might be cool to, you know, expose this and kind of brand it and give my own little opinion of it, since this is the internet and social media. So I think maybe I am overthinking it.
I think you are. But the other part, and let's get back to talking about radio itself, there are, and I think everyone who's online and talks about music will agree with this, there are so many radio stations, not just in Chicago, but across the country. They've got this core set of songs they're going to play. And every once in a while, if you pop something up that people haven't heard and they don't hear on the regular radio, they go crazy. Like, I love that song. Why don't we hear that song? Okay?
Right.
So, you know, be bold with that, too, even if it's by an artist who you've, you know, added before. I'll give you a great example. I forget what the reason was, but one day I posted up, remember the Donny Iris song, Aaliyah?
Oh, that's a great one.
And I put up, and I got all these likes and all these people going, why don't we hear that song? And I'm like, I don't know, talk to the radio programmers, because there's a million other songs like that.
Yeah, and I think that actually was one of my songs, too. I know I've got a Donny Iris on there. I mean, that's part of the thing, too. It's like, oh, my God, here's a song that you never hear anymore, and it's a great song,
yeah,
and it should be played.
I remember one that you mentioned, that you threw out there, was David and David, Welcome to the Boomtown.
Yeah, right, from the 80s, yeah.
And then I even chimed in, well, Swallowed by the Cracks was another one of their great songs. And again, going back to, I don't want to be so super critical of radio, but you know what? there's a lot of songs out there that these program directors don't want to play.
Yeah. Well, this is one of them. So here's this classic 1960 song that almost, thank God it didn't, but almost came between an Elton Jim and a Mick Kaler. Thankfully, it didn't. Thank you again, Mick, for coming downstairs into the Pop Culture Club. And this is one of the few times I thought it'd be fun that we actually don't agree on something.
Fine, no problem there.
All right, well, go get the album, The Greatest Hits of Music Explosion.
I'm there.
All right, take care.
Later, man.
Little Bit of Soul by the Music Explosion, 1965, I think, or 67, actually. It was actually released initially in Britain. It was done by a song or a group called the Little Darlings in England, and I believe it was 67 is when it was released and became a huge hit here in the United States. So anyway, thank you for once again clicking on to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, new episode is posted there, so hope you will join us once again. And don't forget, it's always there, and now I have a landing page. So you can binge listen to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And don't forget, this is the place where it's from the end of the web to your screen.